Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson. And for those that might not be familiar with who I am and what I'm doing, I am the founder and president of BOND, the Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. And the purpose of BOND is to rebuild the family by rebuilding the man. We started out rebuilding the black community by rebuilding the black man, but I've discovered that white men are weak too, so we're trying to help them overcome their problem, whites and Jews and all men. So we are trying to help all men to understand what is wrong so that they can overcome and be real men. Today, I'm talking to a group of men from everywhere. I don't know them, some of them, about, I've discovered that white Americans, and I mean conservative whites, not liberal whites, because it's understood that they hate America, so we're not talking about them. But the white people who love America, love family values, and love the principles that God has instilled in us, we're trying to give them an idea of how to deal with liberal blacks, those blacks who hate America, blacks like the Jesse Jacksons, the Maxine Waters, the Reverend Cecil Murray, the NAACP, and the Black Caucus, those black people who has the mind or is controlling black people mentally by lying and deceiving and keeping them angry. And I noticed that a lot of white people are intimidated when they are discussing the issues of black people. They're afraid of being called racist. They're afraid of standing up for this country. And if good blacks and whites don't come together and begin to stand up, we're going to lose this country. We've already lost the cities. And we're going to lose the country if we don't do something about it. And so we have a variety of men here today to help us to understand how whites should deal with crazy blacks, liberal blacks. All right? Is that all right, guys? I appreciate you guys coming. The first question is, what is a liberal? That has been asked several times, right? That's right? Okay. All right. My definition of a liberal, then I can hear from the rest if you like, are people who hate the family. They hate the order of things, God, Jesus, man, woman, and children. They hate America. They do not believe in the principles that the founders of this country built this country on, and they are going against it. Especially black people, especially black. I personally think that just as the Jews, we should be grateful to be in this country because we could be stuck in Africa somewhere. And I think that we're taking our blessings for granted, and we're constantly begging and whimping and whining and complaining and not really dealing with the issue. So we want white Americans to stand up with blacks that are standing up for this country. And so liberals are people who hate the country. Anything goes, homosexuality, abortion, they believe in programs like the welfare, affirmative action, all the stuff that destroys a person. That's my definition of a liberal. Anybody disagree with that definition? All right, Alan.
I think,
I have
to stand up.
Yes, please.
I think there are different kind of liberals. I think there are some liberals who have good intentions, and I don't think they're acting out of a malevolence, but they don't think things through. I think they think with their hearts or they think with their feelings, but they don't think things through. And I've met liberals over a period of time who, when they do think things through, they cease to become liberals and they become conservatives.
And can you give me an example of a good intention? Liberal, intentionally liberal.
Maybe,
I haven't seen one.
I think back in the 60s and the 70s, people saw government as the means by which black folks could get legitimate rights, and there may have been a time and a place for that. And what they then thought was, well, if government served the purpose for that, then let's use government to create these programs and to jumpstart so many black folks' lives, thinking that that would work. I don't think it did work. I don't think they thought it through.
But I mean, do you know one today? Have you seen any today in 1995?
Any good intention liberals?
Yeah.
Occasionally I meet someone who I wouldn't call evil. I would say maybe fuzzy-headed, someone who doesn't think things through. But I would
most liberals now.
I wouldn't jump so quickly to the conclusion that they're evil or they hate America. I just don't think they're thinking things through clearly.
Okay, I haven't seen one that doesn't hate America, but I appreciate that.
Right.
The young man in the back, yes.
Thank you. I disagree, first of all, with everything that's been said. First of all, in terms of a liberal, your reference to Jesse and Maxine was more that of a radical. Now, I want to come from a base of definition, since we brought up conservatives and we brought up liberals.
Yeah, are you liberal or conservative?
I'm liberal.
Okay.
In my understanding, in Civics 101, of the left and right and the center, that the radical is on the left who says, I don't like this system and I want to change it with any means necessary. That's a radical. Next to him, going close to next to center, is the liberal who says, no, I don't like this either, but I will work within the system to change it. My two examples for those on the left would be Malcolm, say, to an extent of saying, get up off your knees, to Martin Luther King saying, no, we will take their law, their constitution, and put it in their face and let them understand that this must apply to all of us. That's my understanding of a liberal. Now you got center, you get to the right side, there you find your conservative who says, who's usually the average middle-class white person, who says, things are fine. I don't want to change anything. That's my understanding of a conservative. And then to the far right would be the reactionary. But now that you understand, if you're saying a liberal, I don't find today the conservatives and the reactionaries have so made us liberals look like we are something dirty and something nasty that it has boggled the mind of people who don't even understand what liberals are.
Okay, so, you know what? Just hold it. I'm sorry. We need to take a quick break, and I want to ask when we come back, do you think that Maxine Waters and Jesse Jackson are dirty, nasty people? We'll be back in a moment.
They work within the system.
Just hold on a minute. Back in a moment.
Bond, the brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. For more information, call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
Okay. Are we just coming back from a break, right? Okay. Yes, sir. What is, are you, you said you are a liberal. Liberal.
Yes. Well, listen, no. I'm between a radical or revolutionary and a liberal.
Man, that's hard. Must be hard.
No, that's right in the middle. You see, if you're too liberal, you're too passive. But if you're too radical, you're dangerous. So I want to sit right in the middle, because just like conservatives on the right move back and forth to the center when it is to their convenience, so must we, and so do I. So when it is to my advantage to be very liberal, I am. And when it is to my advantage to be very radical, I am. But not to the point of I'm talking about physical danger and stuff. It's just if I have to fight for my cause a little harder, then I will.
Oh,
and
okay.
When sometimes you just have to sit and listen and take it, and if that's necessary, you know, I will also, so I can't say straight.
I want to get a definition from this young man about liberal, but first let me ask, how are you feeling about the conservative movement in the country now?
The winds that are blowing across America right now with the conservatism, to me as a liberal, is a dangerous one for the American society, in that it is going back to state rights, and you know what that will put us. It's going back to...
Where's going to put you?
Well,
us who?
Us black people, to start with, us poor people, and all others. When you're talking about...
Where is it going to put you?
It's going to put us back where our great-grandparents were. You know, after the end of the Civil War, what made the South come back and unite with the North in order to make the currency together was they were asking for their state sovereign rights in order to control their people. Well... the little parlez-vous was done, and state rights, which we today still are up under. Most of the rights that we think are part of the Constitution of the Ten Amendments really come up under the Fourth Amendment, which goes into state rights, which is due process.
So
we don't really have a lot of rights under the Constitution. But to get back to the,
let me just ask you this: what is it that you want to do in your life now that you can't do?
There's nothing
because of the conservative movement or Republican movement.
Well, let me tell you, it's as simple as that without monopolizing. As long as I don't care who's in, conservative, liberal, reactionary, radical, if I have the same opportunity in this capitalistic society in which we live to be able to follow my dreams and be able to get the same consideration for whatever needs that I have in order to do what I have to do if I'm qualified, that's all I want. I don't care who's in.
Okay.
But according to conservatives, now we're going back to special interests, and that's where I was before.
Okay. Tell me again quickly and a little simpler, what is it that you personally want to do in today's society that you can't do as a black man?
What can I do?
What kind of dream do you have?
I have, listen, you said keep this short, so I will keep it short, talking about my dreams. But like I tried to answer that before, whatever I aspire to do, and I'm satisfied with what I'm doing now, you know, I have stability to the point there's not something I have to run out here and have a dire emergency to do. But I just want to, in America, and we've been here since 1619, we've helped build this country. It should not be a problem for me to go if I want to get a $200,000 loan to start my business or whatever I need, that I can get the same consideration that the next man can get. And as long as that, it's up to each individual as far as I'm concerned. No one owes me anything, but I just want the same opportunity in America.
Amazing. And your definition of a liberal?
Are you asking me?
Yes, sir. You had your hand up earlier. Can you stand for me?
Yes.
Okay. What's your name?
My name is Joseph Jackson.
All right, Joseph.
Well, first of all, in relation to my definition of a liberal, you know, liberal people, there are many issues at stake. And someone can be a conservative on one issue and a liberal on another issue. And when you brought up Maxine Waters and Jesse Jackson, I don't believe that they are liberal across the board in relation to issues that you brought out.
Like,
for instance, the destruction of the family. I know for a fact that Jesse Jackson has a family, and I know that he is not for breaking up of his family or the breaking up of black families.
So why does he encourage everything that breaks up a family?
Well, I don't believe that that is his goal or objective. But
that's not what I asked him. Well, why is he encouraging that? If he believes strongly in the family, why is he encouraging everything that breaks up a family?
I don't believe that's the case. I believe that he's doing the things that are necessary to give black families the opportunity to move forward into progress in this particular society and circumstance based upon the history of this country and black people in this particular
country.
And
what is he doing? What do you believe he's doing to build the family?
I believe that his intent is to be an advocate for us and to be a voice based upon the lack of voices that there are that have the platform that he has to speak on.
So is he a voice for you?
There are many issues at stake. You know, I have friends. Every particular issue that they bring up, I do not stand behind. I do not stand behind every particular issue that anyone, but there are parts of.
Is Jesse Jackson a voice for you?
On some issues, he is.
Like what?
On giving opportunities to black men in this country. I would not have the job that I would that I have. Chances are, if it was not for affirmative action. So.
Oh, you didn't earn it.
I don't qualify for what?
You didn't earn your job.
I don't understand what you're saying by that. What do you mean?
You said. Yeah, hold on, sir.
If you got that job on a kind of affirmative action, well, you ain't worth the salt to go in your food. Did you know why? If you was worth anything, you would need affirmative action. What do I need affirmative action to get a job? If you get it, you can't hold it because you don't know what to do. And you saying that somebody's supposed to give you, ain't nobody supposed to give you nothing. America is built on individuality. And nobody don't have to give me no opportunity. I make my opportunity. This is what freedom means. And then you can learn anything you want to know if you want to know it. All you have to do is go to the library. It don't cost you nothing to go there and learn anything you want to learn. Don't nobody stop you from that. And why don't you get your own job instead of going asking somebody else to give you one?
Let's get a response.
Personally, I would have to say that you're ignorant of a lot of facts that have gone on in a particular job that I have. You're ignorant of the history of black firemen here in Los Angeles and the things that, with the fact that doors being closed and the stories that have taken place. There's a book you need to read, sir. It's called The Old Stentorians. I suggest that you read that before you pop off the mouth.
Let me ask you this, sir. Let me ask you this. So you don't think that, what kind of work you do?
I'm a fire inspector for the city of Los Angeles.
Yes, I already know that. I just want them to be aware. And so you don't believe that you would have gotten that job had not it been for affirmative action?
Not the fact that I wouldn't have gotten the job, but the opportunity would not have been there if it was not for affirmative action.
And how do you know that?
How do I know that?
Uh-huh.
Well, because number one, I never thought about even becoming a fireman until the opportunity came across in front of me.
What do you mean?
Well, that's a detailed explanation.
I mean, one day you heard we have affirmative action down at the fire department.
It didn't have anything to do with
affirmative
action.
So if you want to be one.
Didn't have anything to do with affirmative action.
I mean, did you want to become a fireman because the opportunity opened up, or was that a desire of yours always?
Because the opportunity opened up.
Other than that, you would not have wanted to be a fireman.
I would not have entertained the idea to the degree.
Take the mic.
Based upon the opportunity that came before me.
Yes.
Then he's probably correct that, when he said that without affirmative action, he probably wouldn't have had the job. If only by the sheer fact that the job opened and then he was interested, then I would say he was correct. But in regards to the gentleman that spoke, I think he was talking about something it was a more universal principle in regards to not necessarily directing it about your particular job. He was saying, in general, if an individual wants an opportunity, it's not anyone's business in this country to give us opportunity. The opportunity is out there. It's about seizing that opportunity. It's about reaching out and grabbing it. And there are plenty of opportunity for every individual in America. So I just don't. I don't buy that, you know, someone has to come knock on my door and say, here you go. And if we wait for that to happen, then it kind of explains the situation that we might be in. I truly believe that, you know, my forefathers, all of our forefathers that were enslaved, that died in the early years of this country, have paid for our rights, have paid for the opportunity already. And it's about just grabbing hold of them.
Yeah.
That's all I've done all my life. No one has ever given me anything. I've just stood up and said, yeah, I have a right, just as anyone else in this country, to go and open a business if I want, to go and create a level of expertise about a skill, and then go and convince whoever may have the job that I'm the best person for the job, and if they choose me, they will benefit.
Absolutely.
That's how it works. Jobs are not created for people to be filled.
That's right. Let me ask you this. I'm glad that you straightened out that situation. Now, with this house burned, you will come and put the fire out, right? After that statement he made about you. That's the fireman, man. You can't talk to him like that. But stand back up for me. I want to ask you something. What's your name?
Lavelle Dubois.
And are you, quote-unquote, conservative or liberal in your thinking?
I'm a pragmatic conservative.
You are. And what does that mean?
I think traditionally people have defined conservatives in the way the gentleman in the back defined conservatives, as being an individual that may think that things are okay in its status quo. But I don't think things are okay.
Right.
Because right now, if things were okay, then, you know, you would think liberals are the ones that are the traditional conservatives. They don't want things changed. I think things should be changed.
Yeah.
I think we have, from one perspective, have swung all the way to the other side. And I just don't believe that things that were wrong 30, 40 years ago, the exact opposite of it means that it's right.
Yeah.
And I just think we've swung too far the other way.
Let me ask, and I know this young man is waiting, how should a white, may I ask, do you vote Republican or Democrat?
I vote the person that most aligned with my values. So and I don't like really being pigeonholed in a particular group. And I don't think anyone should do that, because ultimately your worth is not valued, just as we see with the Democratic Party completely taking for granted that 95% of all blacks will vote Democratic.
And they will.
Absolutely. So I vote depending on the individual and their platform. I make sure it aligns with my values.
Oh, okay. I'm proud to say I'm 100% 99% Republican all the way. And forgive me for you. I was a Democrat a while back. I really do repent of that. I'm sorry. But I was born a Baptist and a Democrat. So I suffered for 37 years. I'm 46 now. I have overcome. I'm free. But how would you tell a white conservative to, how would you instruct him or her to deal with a black liberal?
I think that's
respond
kind of a general.
Respond to the
In what kind of situation?
In debates, for example, and okay. It's time that the whites should stand up and deal with the issue when it's concerning black people. But they have a fear of being called racist or homophobic, all kinds of stupid
Well, you can't
stuff.
Have that. You
How
can't
should
have
a white, white person deal with that when in confrontation with a black?
I think there is a lot of social bullying that goes on in regards to debating blacks. Me being a person of, I'm conservative. I'm very conservative. And when I debate someone that happens to be black and liberal, the attack is not on my ideas or
Put
my argument.
Put the mic to your mouth.
Right. The attack is usually on me as a person.
Yeah.
So they're personal attacks, and that is just a sign that an individual can't debate the issues, so they have to go to a personal attack. And I think whites that may be in debate with black liberals, they simply should recognize that and call the attention of either the individual or the platform that might be holding debate. Make it known that That is like a very weak defense of not having any ability to argue issues.
Right.
So they have to attack them personally. So I think it's a sign of being very hollow in your ability to debate on issues, opposed to just personally attacking someone. And if you believe in something, you often have to stand up and take some arrows.
That's right.
I often
yes,
have
sir.
To. I mean, you don't know how many times I've been called a Knuckle Tom,
yes,
and a sellout, and so forth and so on.
When you said you were conservative, I knew the rest.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Let me ask. I don't know your name. What's your name, sir?
Jabari Jumani.
Jabari. Are you liberal?
I don't. I don't know if I fit in any of those categories. I've never thought of myself in them.
Where do you fit?
I consider myself a black nationalist.
Oh, you are?
Yes, sir.
And what does that mean?
That's someone who is black and works for the uplift of the black nation.
Black and work for the in what way?
In economic, social, political, whatever.
And
all respects. That's where my emphasis is. I'm probably the wrong person for this show.
No, you define one.
I really don't have any input for you as to how whites should accept black liberals, because I don't give thinking about how whites should accept anything much of my time. You know, if I'm working for the uplift of the black community, I use probably 10 areas that I use that blacks should concentrate on to uplift themselves. Those areas being economics, educational, entertainment, identity, labor law, politics, religion, sex, and war.
So what do you think about what is happening in the country today with the conservative movement?
I think the conservatives, there's nothing surprising about that. What we're looking at right now is a system of global white supremacy, which has, it's nothing new. In general, white folks work for the uplift of white people. Is that something that's shocking to anybody in this audience here? I certainly hope. It's nothing new. You can call it conservative. You can call it a wolf in sheep's clothing, a new wolf, a sheep, whatever you want to call it. White people generally work for the upliftment of white people.
And you think that's what this movement is about now?
It's the same now it has always been. It's not a new movement. That's my contention.
Oh, I see.
It's the same as it has always been.
I don't understand that, man. It's like I don't know what to ask you because I can't understand that kind of thinking.
What specifically are you confused about that I'm talking
about? So you think that...
Let me use this example that this man used right here. This man here is a fireman.
Uh-huh.
You know, at your age, sir, I'd imagine you're well in your 60s.
So, 65.
Okay.
Speaking to the mic.
It sounds to me like you have no knowledge of the fact that regardless of this man's physical prowess and his mental ability that black people have been held out of jobs.
You know what we need to do, sir?
Police.
You know what? Hold on, guys. Hold on, guys. Do this for me. We need to end this segment.
Okay.
And when we come back, we'll pick up.
No problem.
We're out of time already. I cannot believe it. We're going to pick up right with this next Monday night. So call a friend, call a neighbor, call a liberal, and tell them to tune in next Monday night, same time. Thank you, guys.
Understand what went wrong. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find.
Welcome to the program. My name is Jesse Peterson. We're doing a two-part series on probably three and a part four as well on for whites only. We are trying to help whites deal with black liberals, the crazies out there. People like, in case you didn't tune in last week, people like Jesse Jackson, the Maxine Waters, the NAACP, the Black Caucus, all the black ministers, all of them. People who hate America, people who hate America. We're trying to help our fellow American whites to deal with them, those whites who love America, not the liberal white. They're crazy and lost anyway. So we're trying to give them a hint on how to deal with that, to get rid of the guilt that black America has put on them to overcome it. And last week, sir, can you stand for me? You were saying that you are a nationalist.
Nationalist. Yes, sir.
And you're trying to help uplift black people.
Yes, sir.
Black people. And the reason for that is because the movement, this conservative movement, indicates that they are for whites only. Is that right?
No, sir. That's not my reason for it. It's my reason for helping uplift the black community because I'm black.
Okay.
When I look in the mirror, I see a black person, you know, regardless of what white conservative or liberal does, I'm helping black people because I am a black man. Just as the Jews help Jewish people, not because of what other people do to them, because they're Jewish. Just as the Korean community helps the Koreans because they are Korean. When they look in the mirror and they
that.
See that.
I understand that.
That's
part.
Why I'm helping black people.
But what do you mean when you say that whites are trying to take back or control everything?
I never said that, sir.
What did you say? Correct me on that.
I didn't say it. Your question to me was, what should black people do? How can we help whites accept liberals?
Right.
And my point was, I'm a bad person for that because I don't put any energy at all in wondering how I can help white people do anything. They do quite a good job for themselves.
They do. And are you friends with any white? Do
sure,
you,
certainly. I get along with them very well.
Oh, you do?
Certainly.
You just don't want to help them?
No, sir. No. My question is, my point is, when I look in the mirror, I see a black man. When I look in the streets and I see young boys and girls distraught, not having social programs, not having some place to play, needing help with their reading skills, writing skills, that's who my allegiance is with.
Why is that like that? Why are they having those problems?
Well, a lot of people, I mean, you can look at socioeconomical situation, and this goes back you know, a great distance. I mean, a lot of factors influence that. But I believe it's up to us to rescue us.
So maybe I'm just missing it. Blacks are poor and down out because of what?
No, I didn't make that.
I mean, they'll have those problems because of what?
I think you'll find in any race of people, those people who are downtrodden, disenfranchised. That's who I'm speaking to in my ethnic group.
Right. And why are they like that? Tell me that again.
For many different reasons.
And what are some of the reasons?
Some reasons are socioeconomical reasons. Maybe they come from a home where maybe their parents are not educated, and consequently they have not learned the value for education.
Socioeconomic meaning that they don't have the finance or the means to do what they want to do?
That's correct. Or at least have not realized
Because
that.
They do have it, they just don't realize
it. Or at least have not realized it to this point.
Oh, okay.
See, an opportunity can be in front of a person if they do not understand it or have not been channeled in that direction. They cannot appreciate that.
And so you don't want to give the white folks any idea of how to deal with blacks who hate America.
Well, no, I don't. I'd be the wrong person to ask about that. Yeah. That may be a very viable question for you to ask someone else.
Okay.
But for me, that's not my agenda.
All right. Yes, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir.
One difference is, as this gentleman was saying, he looks in the mirror and sees a black man. I look in the mirror and see a principled man that just happens to be black. But this movement, this movement that we have here, with the conservatives, five Democrats this year has switched in the House from Democrat to Republican.
That's what I was thinking earlier.
This is a movement of principle. This is not a movement of color. It's no different between, it's not a movement between black and white. It's not a movement between left and right. It's just a movement of up and down.
What do you say to that, sir? Do you disagree with that? That it's a movement of principles?
There are movements of principles, yes. There are socioeconomical problems. There's always been a struggle between classes, rich, poor, bourgeoisie, proletariat. That's not deniable. Here, I am encompassed in this human body for a particular mission. I see people in the street that I walk out in my neighborhood. These are people I see every day, black people. That's where my allegiance is, to help them. It's not to not help anybody white, as I have helped white people. As I have helped white people, as I have helped Latinos. But the people I see every day, they look like me. Yeah, I really don't think that there's really a reason in 1995 that I should be apologetic for helping black people. I think when we go up and down, we're in Los Angeles, we go up and down Olympic Boulevard, Korean writing on the walls that we can't even see. Language helps insulate Koreans, and I don't ever see them making an excuse for helping Koreans.
Yet
we tend to want to put black people on the spot for black people.
What I see
are
is
we somehow seeking some liminal or some undercover way to be accepted by white people? You know, I'm very honest in saying that I'm not trying to be accepted by anybody. I'm trying to do what's right inside of myself.
Yes, sir.
If I could, what I would like to do is help this nation as a whole. I want to strengthen every fabric in this nation. I believe in the Constitution. I believe in what it stands for, and I'm going to fight to my death.
Okay,
to preserve this Constitution.
I too.
If you can do it by helping black people and strengthen black people and make them stronger, but so they can compete and be stronger in the society as a whole, then good.
Certainly.
All good for you.
Certainly.
But about this separatism.
I didn't say anything about separatism, sir.
I mean,
if that's what you're interpreting, what I'm saying.
I mean, anytime you judge a man by the color of his skin,
I didn't judge
that's what you're doing.
By anything, sir.
I mean, if you're helping people by black.
Okay, let me explain this. We're a team in this room. Let's for 1 minute make us all a team. If I go out and I work on weights and strengthen my own body, I have helped that particular faction of this team. So we come together. So this country will be a great country when everybody stands up on their own. Some people want to do away with affirmative action. Some people want to do away with social programs. Now, if I work with black people,
speaking to the microphone.
Now, if I work with black people, so that they don't need affirmative action, so that we get jobs on our own, that helps the whole country, does it not? Would you not contend that?
No.
So I'm only.
We don't need an affirmative action program. What we need to do is take an affirmative action.
Certainly.
Each individual needs to take an affirmative action.
And that's exactly what I'm saying. Yeah. That's exactly what I'm saying. I am helping a segment of our society take an affirmative action. So if I help a person not need affirmative action, but work socioeconomically within our community, so he is empowered financially, he doesn't need affirmative action any longer, and he has bettered the country to some degree. Would you not agree?
I agree with that.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Alan.
Here's the problem that I have with this gentleman. And I can trace it back. When I was a little kid, at one point my mother asked me why I wasn't hanging around more people of my own kind. And I said,
I am.
I said, my own kind are not Jews. My own kind are people who think like I do and have my values. And I realized that when I was a little kid. And as I get older, I remember at a certain point I came across a very important quote by an Austrian psychologist, I think, who was in Auschwitz, the death camps. And he said what he learned from that experience was that there are only two races in the world, and those two races are the decent and the indecent. Right. And any time you get away from that, see, what this gentleman said here is there are times where if you think like a black nationalist or if I think like a Jew, I may help Jews or I may help blacks, and you may, in fact, help certain people. But there is a lens that you're looking at life through, and that lens is you don't really see the decent versus the indecent, because there may be a situation where you should be helping someone who's white or you should be making a choice based on the fact that that guy is the best guy for the job and he happens to be white, and you'll make the wrong choice. And that's where the confusion comes in. I also have another question I'd like to ask.
Did you want to respond to that first?
Can I ask you a quick question, though? Given the choice,
Can I respond to what you said?
Can I ask you a quick question first?
Go right
ahead. Okay. If you had the choice of me relating to you as a black nationalist or you as an individual person, and I don't even know your name, what would you choose? Would you choose that I relate to you as an individual, as Joe or Jim or whatever your name is, or would you prefer that I relate to you as a black nationalist? What would you choose?
I would expect that you would deal with me as a person, since you don't know by looking at me.
But what would you prefer? What would be your preference?
Well, you know, it's really immaterial to me. You know,
Why is that?
Well, because I don't give it that much thought. I mean, you know, the problem that we have here is we're getting a little bit emotional. When I, as a black man, say that I'm working to uplift the black community, mm-hmm. Something very offensive that people take for that. It's like, he had the nerve to say that, but I thought you were looking for men. So I'm being a man and saying that's what I'm standing up on. You know, so, but the point, that is part of the issue as far as where I'm coming from. I'm coming from the fact that I'm speaking maybe a position that's not very politically correct amongst some conservatives.
I can't hear you. What
do
you say?
I said maybe I'm speaking a position that's not politically correct amongst some individuals here in the audience, but it's a position nonetheless. I expect you to just deal with me as a person. You don't know me.
Mm-hmm.
So I expect I would extend my hand to you.
Okay, but if I wanted to get to know you, what I'm saying is, would you prefer that the medium through which we get to know each other is that you come on to me as a black nationalist, or I could come on to you as a Jew, or would you prefer that we relate as an individual to an individual? What do you think would quickly get to the essence of who you are?
I really don't think
and who I am.
I really don't think that you can separate the two.
I think you can.
I don't think you can.
Or if you can, I think you ought to try.
But you know what I think?
Why do you don't think that you can?
Well, because personally, my beliefs and my values will come out in who I am, and that's how you learn to respect a person. Nobody respects a person who's just wishy-washy on issues. I'm trying to make you like me. I'd much rather you respect me and respect me for my mm-hmm. issues rather than like me for who you want me to be or think mm-hmm. that I am.
I'm not even concerned with liking you or disliking
okay.
you. All I'm asking you is, would you want me to relate to you as an individual?
I would want you
or as someone who is, in other words, as a man who is black first and a man second, or a man first who happens to be black, just as I'm Jewish. I don't particularly give a damn that you relate to me as a Jew. I'd rather you relate to me as Alan. That's what I'm saying.
I don't think that you look at me and can ever separate me from my blackness.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you ever can.
Mm-hmm.
I would want you to accept me for my wholeness.
Mm-hmm.
When you see me, do you see anything but a black man?
Mm-hmm.
Do you just see a man?
Your skin color,
yes.
You may not accept this, your skin color makes as much difference to me as the color of your suit, in
okay.
terms of it reflecting on who you are as a man.
I would think if, in fact, that's true, you're a very unique individual in this society and in this time.
Mm-hmm.
And I congratulate you for being that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's move on to the next guy. I'm just itching. Can I ask one person?
Sure.
Thank you. You don't believe that a white person is capable of looking beyond your blackness and seeing you as an individual?
I don't think you separate the two, so I don't think that anyone looks beyond that.
Really?
I think the most successful groups of people in this society respect who they are and don't ever try to separate from it. The only people who try to do that, unfortunately, are black people who've been savaged and ravaged by slavery, mental, physical, you know, things of that nature. There are some remnants left, and I hear it every time I hear somebody try to separate themselves from blackness. That's the old House Negro thing that I keep trying to hear.
It is. Let me ask you this then.
Yes, sir.
Are you able to look at a white person, any white people, and separate them from their whiteness?
Absolutely not.
Really?
Absolutely not.
Okay, thank you. Yes, sir.
Hello, my name is Anthony Domeo. And basically, I guess how I would categorize myself is simply being a realist. And to to hear at my age of 31 in 1995 to say that affirmative action has not been available to me, has I have not been able to attain whatever I have attained in my life, I would not be real. The generation that was before me made it possible for me to have the opportunities that they were shut out of. It's not that I'm unable to make these opportunities myself. It's not that I'm physically handicapped or mentally defunct. It is simply that I've been closed out by a society.
Really? Don't you just love the way he speaks, even though you don't agree with it? He speaks well, huh? You would not have been able to accomplish the things you have in life had not it been for affirmative action? That's what I'm hearing?
Not by peaceful means.
Really? And what do you mean by peaceful means?
Well, if you take the depressed and you keep them down, if you take a man and you prevent him from walking, from eating, from living, just the basic things in life, eventually all that he has left is the corner that he's backed into and the radicalness in his heart.
So are you saying that white people is depressing black people? Are you saying that?
Well, if I were to look at history here in 1995, I could not deny it.
Really? And how are they doing it? I don't see what they're doing. What are they doing to hold black people down in the manner that they are today?
Okay, we talked about liberals working within the system.
Are you liberal?
No, I'm not. Okay, we talked about liberals working within the system. Okay, well, you have to look at whose system it is. A liberal, a black liberal, is only able to go as far in that system as he is allowed to go. Now, when the system recognizes all men as being equal truly, as the Constitution says, then all men would be equal.
And do you think affirmative action would allow the system to recognize all men as being equal?
Affirmative action is a medicine to an evil. It is not something that I support. It is not something that I believe needs to be in place. However, if I were to deny that affirmative action, if taken away right now, you know, many things would change. But they would
so
go backwards.
How would you explain that during the era just before the 60s, mm-hmm. the late 50s and 30s and 40s, black were doing better then than they are today. How would you explain that if what you're saying is true?
Mm-hmm. Well, blacks were doing better because they were separated. But however, you can't deny it. If you look at that period in history, that during that time, white America was able to come down and just wholly raid down in violence and do whatever they wanted in that isolated black society.
I don't remember that happening, man. Well, if it happened, I don't remember it happening. I was back there during those days. Do you know that during that period that blacks went to college, they had their own universities, they had their own businesses, there was areas in the cities. Can we take a break?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd like to come back.
All right. We'll be back in a moment.
Bond. The Brotherhood Organization of a New Destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. For more information, call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
Okay, we are back. We're doing a show today for whites only. How whites should deal with crazy black liberals. Crazy black liberal. And just before we went to break, are you aware that blacks had their own schools? They educated themselves. They came back into the community. They had their own land. They did better during that time. Their family were together during that time. Are you aware of that?
Oh, yes. I am aware of that. And But what I see when I examine history is I see separatism, and I see the higher colleges that did exist then were gifts of the white society.
That's not true.
They were not put in place by black man.
Let me tell you that's not true. Schools like Tuskegee Institutes and others were higher colleges. They were, I mean, everybody their mama wanted to go there. You only think that because you are not familiar with those schools and what was happening in that era. And so you think that the school wasn't any good. That's not true. It is absolutely not true.
Well, perhaps that's what your studies have brought to you.
No, I was limited in those days.
Okay.
It's not my study.
Okay. Well, I see. You were. I assume then you're saying that you were alive when the school was formed. Okay. Well, what I saw was that the schools were formed by liberal white groups who felt that, okay, we should lift up the black man to where we are. I disagree with that. I believe that the black man should rise up to where he can attain. He can go much further, not just to this level. Okay, you can come up here, but then, well, maybe you're getting too close. It's getting dangerous now.
Let me ask you this, and then we're going to take the man in the back row there. What do you think about people like the Jesse Jacksons and the NAACP and those liberals that is crazy?
Well, what do I think about them? Mm-hmm. I believe that they were good for a time. But now this is a new time, and that I agree with them on some issues, but not on all issues.
Like what? Give me just one issue that you agree on.
Okay, the one issue that I agree on is that if we are not able to attain it through peaceful means, and we're not able to attain it through the system that we are forced to work in at this time, then we should look to other avenues.
Like what?
Like what other avenues? What
you said peaceful meaning, I thought of violence.
Uh-huh. Well,
did you mean that?
Well, that could be an avenue.
Really?
And if you look back in history, you look at the time of Martin Luther King, look at the time of Malcolm X. Those are things that they fully condoned. It's like, okay, if we're not able to arrive here by peace, then we have to look at other.
Man, I cannot believe. Well, I can believe it because you're young and black. I can't believe you think this way. Let me ask this. Tell me again, how are white people holding blacks down today? Just give me one small example. How are they holding blacks back today?
How are they holding blacks back today?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to look back and you have to see a system that has kept him back, kept him thinking that, okay, it's not possible for you, kept him thinking that, well, you know, you're not going to be able to do it. You have
but the white man,
look at the whole system.
But the white man is not.
What is it that's keeping him down today? Disinformation and lack of just going out and doing it.
I know, but that kind of information is coming from black liberals, not white people. Well, they're the one telling you that you can't make it, that you need programs, you need welfare and affirmative action. You don't hear that from black white conservative, do you?
Well, if I were trying to hurt you, would I come to you and say, well, I'm going to hurt you? Or if I were truly trying to hurt you, would I come to you and say, hey, you're safe?
Okay. Thank you, sir. What school did you go to?
I went to Butlong Avenue, John Muir, Washington High School, LACC, and National University.
Okay, thanks. You speak well, man. I like that. I got to take my vice president first, and then I'll come to you, all right? Yes, Michael.
You know, what I was thinking when he was talking is that he said white people, he was suggesting that white people are holding black people back. But I live in Marin County now, but when I was born and raised here in Los Angeles, lived here for 31 years. And as I drive through the community and I see the grass high on the front porch, I mean on the front yard, I see paper flying around the streets. I don't ever see a white man out there holding somebody's hand back from picking up that paper and from mowing this lawn. I mean, in America, it's about property rights. And in our communities, the property is the value of the property is low because we don't treat our property right. I mean, we don't take care of our property.
And it's like that all over the country, wherever black dwell,
and it's
like that.
And it's a sin. I tell you, it's a spiritual sin for us to treat our property that way because these gifts and the values that we have, we don't take them with us. We don't take us with them when we go. We have to take care of our things when we're here on this earth. And if young people can learn the principle of respecting life, respecting property, respecting their parents, we can make a change. But right now, we're looking at this big picture thinking the white man is holding you back. And I haven't seen it. I'm a contractor. I've built just as many homes for white people as I have black people. And I haven't seen anybody hold me back. If they have, it wasn't evident for me. I'm sure I've gotten just as many jobs because I was black as I didn't get because I was black.
Yes, sir.
Okay. What holds us back? You ride through your what used to be your community. You ride through that community, and you see black men, and you see Latino men, and you see all races of men. But mainly in this community, what you see are black men who are hanging around the liquor store or sitting around in the tall grass, like you said. And what they're doing is they are living the image that they have been given. The image of the shiftless black man who is unable to move forward. And if you want to find where that image is, look in your media. Okay, it's great that we're here today and we're able to speak as black men boldly and profoundly. However, if you look at large scale media that is funded by your Johnson and Johnsons and so forth, you see an image that is portrayed that is not the positive black man. You see the image that is portrayed that is a violent man, that is not a loving father. That's not a loving mother.
That's because it's so massive out there. It's out there. When it's out there like that, you can see it. I mean, you don't want to admit it.
No. Majority of the black men on this panel here hasn't benefited from affirmative action.
There's no one here who hasn't benefited from it.
I beg to differ. And I believe those who haven't, I would suggest that you'll go to their house, you won't see paper flying around, you'll see the grass manicured, you'll see all those things. Now, without affirmative action, how did that happen?
Okay,
how did it happen?
Okay, they're living the image that they were brought up and taught to live. Okay, you said that
that's what we're suggesting.
Okay.
We're suggesting that everybody should be taught these principles of family value, these principles of love thy neighbor, that respect thy parents. That's what we're suggesting. Mm-hmm. But the liberal politicians, the liberal and the school systems, we can't no longer now have the Ten Commandments hanging on the wall. Isn't that something? That's something that our Constitution was the principles of that is what built our Constitution. We can't have those scriptures hanging on the wall. Is that incredible?
Okay, I made a comment that there's no one here who has not benefited from affirmative action. Okay, you've said that you did not benefit from
it. Not that I'm aware of. Unless they gave it to me, I don't know it.
Okay, well, that
I've been working pretty hard lately.
Often the case. However, to be here in this studio, to have public access, it was because of affirmative action. It's open to everyone. Otherwise, back in the 60s or during the Jim Crow laws or before that, the black man would not be here.
But see, I don't agree with you that if things had not changed, that we wouldn't be here today. I think we'll be owning the studio, because during the 60s we were working and reinvesting our money into the community. We would have done it ourselves. We would have it. They wouldn't have to give us even the studio. But you know what I need to do?
Okay, I agree with you, but if you had a studio back then, before then, you would be able to reach your black community. And if you went outside of your black community, then you would have crossed the line.
Yes, sir. Real quick, and then we're going to take the guy.
I'd like to get back to the...
Okay, you know what? You have to hold it.
Okay.
We're out again. Are we out of time again? Okay, we're going to go. And when I come back next Monday night, I want to talk to some of the guys that haven't said anything yet. I'll see you next week.
Understand what went wrong.
I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way to stand up. Stand up. Stand up. I know we can find a way. I know we can find a way.
Okay, welcome to the Jesse Peterson Show. We are doing a three-part now series on For Whites Only, How White Conservatives Should Deal with Liberal Blacks. And I'm not going to say crazy because I'm not allowed to say crazy here on the TV. But people like the Jesse Jacksons, the Maxine Waters, the NAACP, the Black Caucus, black liberals who hate America, the black ministers, those that are passing out condoms at their churches, people like that. We're trying to free conservative whites of the guilt. You're no longer responsible for what happened to us years ago. All right. Let it go. It's all over. Something else is the problem. And we're dealing with that today. Sir, can you stand for me? You were saying that I should not call people like Jesse Jackson crazy.
No. Just because you disagree with a person, all of us should be able to disagree without falling out, without separating. But I want to get back to black community. If Malcolm could come together, Elijah Muhammad could come together, and Martin Luther King could all sit down, like Arafat and the gentleman who's the head of Israel can come together, yes, then why can't we come together? We don't have to always agree. We can agree to disagree, but if we come together for a common cause, it can be like Little Big Horn.
Let me clear up one thing, and then I want to move on. They are not my people. You said earlier that they were my people. What did you mean by that?
That come from the same origin. Your ancestors and mine came over on the same boats together, brother, and you can never get away from that regardless of your ideology.
But Jesse Jackson's and people like the people I've named, they don't have the same values that I have. They're like the enemy of the community. They're controlling the people, and I would like to see the people free.
Yeah, well, I don't agree with everything that Jesse says or anyone else, but it's easy to cast stones at the person who is out in the arena. You know, but it's better to fail while daring greatly than to not try at all. So for all of us, people of color, and I speak of black people, that are attempting to do something positive, that we should rally around. And we are the institution. We don't need leaders. They kill our leaders. We have learned that we don't need leaders. We become the institution. And we come together collectively. Therein lies our strength to be able to do whatever it is that we need to do.
Let me just kill that myth. It's a misnomer to think that we're all black, we're all the same, we all believe in the same thing. And that's one of the problems, that we think that we've been brainwashed to believe that just because we're all black, we have to stick together. And because of that, we're being used. And those people are very wise in that now. They're very cunning, and they know how to keep us thinking that way so they can use us. So we're not all the same. We don't believe in the same thing. We're individuals.
I agree.
And so,
but
so
we
how
have
you going
to commonness? Because
I don't have any commonness with him at all.
Now, you know what your commonness and mine is? If you had $10 billion, you could walk in some place, and some white person could say to you, "What do you want, boy?" If you don't think that you have the same problem no matter where you go in life, as long as you are black, that any of the guys on the corner is subject to have, you can get out of your Mercedes or your Rolls Royce and step past an old white woman who's walking, and she'll step back out of fear, and you can leave wearing your Gucci's and all of your Armani's and everything. You have the same commonness that guy on the corner has.
Let that white guy have a mic in the middle, that young one over there. The one thing I want to say to you, I get the same treatment from some black. I'm afraid to go into their community because they may take your life, they may rob you, they may carjack you, they may tear you. They may tear your business down. I mean, racism comes from everybody who has that kind of stuff in their heart. It's not a white thing only. It's not limited to white people.
In our country that we know about is extant from people much lighter than us, and starting with the Indians, and it is...
You need a mic.
But it is not insurmountable. I'm through.
Kent, stand up for me, please. What do you want to know? Do you feel guilty for blacks?
No, I don't.
Are you racist?
Absolutely not.
And how did you? How do you know?
Because I don't feel any ill feelings towards the black race at all. In fact, I want to see them be free and make men of themselves. And that's partly
free
why
from
I'm
what?
Here. Free from the problems that are oppressing them at the very moment.
So are you liberal, conservative, or nationalist? I don't think a black can be a white can be nationalist, right? You only have white nationalists? Oh, okay.
Well, the particular thing that I wanted to...
Do they hang together with black folks? Really? Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, you need mics. I'm sorry. Yes, sir.
Well, the thing that I wanted to discuss, because we're talking about the definition of a liberal, and I wanted to throw some more logs into the fire on this issue, is I see what liberals are they're very inconsistent. And what I mean by that is that on one hand, they'll talk about children's rights when it comes to divorce and how the mother needs the child support. And on the other hand, they favor abortion, which is killing children. And so it's very inconsistent people that we're dealing with. And then on the same token, they're looking for equality for women, but at the same time, they also have affirmative action programs that are definitely not looking for equality for everybody.
Yeah. Absolutely. You want to who want to respond to that? Yes. And then I want to hear from the guy.
One of the points I'd like to make is the whole focus of this is what insights can you give someone who is white and conservative in terms of dealing with the whole black and white issue? And
yeah.
I'd like to very quickly share something goes back a few years ago when I started giving the workshops at Bond. Mm-hmm. You remember that very first meeting where I was sweating prodigiously as I was the only white guy in a room full of black
right.
faces?
And it's the first time I ever seen a white man sweat.
Yeah. And I remember at the moment where I kind of pulled myself out of it. You know what I thought to myself? I said, you know, I'm not looking at a bunch of black faces here. I'm looking at a bunch of people. Just people. And at that point in my mind where I realized that every black face, behind every black face was just a person, no different from me,
yeah.
same values as me, I pulled myself out of it, and all of a sudden I was just dealing as Alan to a bunch of people. And I think if there's one insight that from that experience I could share with someone maybe who's white and conservative and has very little interaction with blacks other than what they see on TV, it's that you have to break through that imagery that maybe you've learned to deal with blacks only based on what you see on TV, and just look at someone as a person in that interaction, and don't let all the baggage of 300 years affect your interaction with that individual human being at that moment. And at that moment, you'll get to know someone, and you may not like that person, or you may, but let it be as an individual to another individual.
Good point. You want to give a white conservative a hint of how to deal with this situation?
Well, I would actually agree with this gentleman. I think that's really the key. 30 years ago, black civil rights leaders were begging, were marching, were pleading to be seen as an individual, yeah. not as a group. Today, we've heard it in this audience.
Yeah.
I'm black, you're black, we're all the same. We have a common bond that seems to be that would define our actions, our views, yeah. our values, and I completely deny that.
Me too.
I break that.
Me too.
Because that's bondage in itself.
Oh my God.
It is not to deny that I'm black, but I'm an individual.
Yeah.
And I think we've lost that whole mentality over the last 30 years.
And you know who we have to thank for that, right?
There are some leaders, absolutely. But I think I would agree with this gentleman about deferring from speaking about individuals. When I spoke earlier about the fact that liberals attack people personally, opposed to attacking their values or their message or the things that they're trying to advance, their ideas. And I would recommend to you to attack the ideas that you do not agree with, opposed to the individual, because the fact is that individual is less important than the ideas.
Okay.
What you will do is create martyrs in the community. You will have people that will align themselves with the individuals that you will attack merely because you're attacking them, opposed to critically looking at whether or not the programs and the ideas that they have made a difference in our community. And that's what I do when I judge them. I judge the results.
Let me ask you this, because of time, we need to move on. But how else would I say that Jesse Jackson, Maxine Waters, and the NAACP lack values. They are controlling the people. Their whole purpose in life is for power. They hunger and thirst after power, and they don't give a damn about black people. So they are the enemy of the black community. How else
talk
could
about the ideas and
without
the things
saying their
in
name,
which they are trying to advance?
But they are not.
They are advancing ideas.
Oh, okay.
I happen to agree that they are not pro-survival for our community. I agree with that. But let's talk about the ideas opposed to the individual, because it doesn't matter.
But how do
about
I talk about an individual without talking about his or her ideas? Do I leave their name
when
out?
When we talk about the things that we believe that are undermining our community, people are smart enough. I'm hoping
they're not.
That they
black
well,
people
we should
are not
be
that
encouraging
smart.
Them to think critically, to look at the results. Have these programs advanced our people? No, they haven't. And that's the bottom line. So let's separate the people that might be promoting these things from the actual ideas, and I think people will be more likely to acknowledge and agree that those type of ideas are detrimental to our community.
Let me talk to this guy. But let me just say to you, I can assure you the reason that you believe that is because we also, as black people, have been conditioned not to speak publicly or disagree in public about one another. It is true. It is absolutely true. As a matter of fact, I spoke at a hearing.
You said for me. I'm talking about an arena where we're trying to bring people together.
Thank you. I spoke at an affirmative action hearing in Michigan, and I talked about blacks the way that they really are, that we don't need it, in essence. A black woman, an older woman, said, don't say that in front of white people. She said, even though it's true, do not say it in front of white people.
I agree
and
with
we
you.
We have been taught that.
I agree with you, but I'm
well,
talking
you just
about...
you disagree.
No. I agree with the point about speaking about the lack of success of the programs that these people have promoted. People will make the connection. Everyone knows who are leading that. But I don't think what you do... I think you isolate people more when you attack individuals opposed to their ideas and the programs in which they're trying to advance. I think the people that are inclined to favor or believe in the leaders that you've attacked are less likely to even think, even evaluate whether or not those programs are good.
I got to move on. Thank you, though. I appreciate the input. I do want to say those people, can you stand up for me? Those people that believe in Jesse Jackson and Matthew Water are crazy, too, because there's no way I'll follow that.
I've heard everyone speak of
I need you to go
issues,
back up there.
Issues and speak on the issue and the questions you've asked, but I haven't heard anyone speak on the truth and what I mean in terms from a spiritual standpoint of view. There's many, many things that we're talking about tonight that we truly don't have an answer for.
I have the answer.
No, you do not
yes,
have the
I
answer.
Do.
You have
I've
the
been talking
about unless that. And you might possibly you may, but me, not the way that you're representing and speaking about issues. I do not see the possibility of you having that answer. You know, there's in the terms of judgment, in the terms of being able to judge a person, that's not for us to do. We can't judge. I mean, we don't have the right truly to judge and be fair and be honest.
So when I see what I see is happening in the black community and I see the cause of it, what am I supposed to do? Not act as though I don't see it?
You can act according, but you should.
What is acting according?
Acting according is acting in terms of your belief, not from a human, from a manly standpoint, a secular standpoint of view. There's just too much beyond us.
Do you not see the wickedness in what the so-called leaders are doing?
Certainly
to the black community?
I see the wickedness.
And so how would you say I see the wickedness?
I put
wickedness?
It in your father's hands.
That what you would say?
That's right.
And not do anything else?
No, I put it in your father's hands and the answer would be given and direction would be given you in terms of which way you would go.
Well, that's what I've done and this is what he told me.
What if he told you to do? What if he told you to do?
Because putting it in the father's hand in the way that I see the black community putting things in the father's hand is not working. Everybody and their mama putting it in the father's hand, and yet they're all going to hell in a handbasket real fast.
No.
There's something wrong.
There's something wrong if you put it in his hands and not get the proper
response. Let me ask you this real quickly. Are you liberal? Conservative?
No, I'm not.
What are you?
I'm conservative.
Conservative. So what advice would you give to whites who are intimidated by black liberals?
who are intimidated by black liberals, yes. I wouldn't give them any advice.
Why not?
I wouldn't give them any advice that would, in terms of an answer, because I don't have that answer to give them.
You don't. And how about the guilt that the white feels? Should they hold on to that guilt?
I don't think they have any guilt.
You don't think so?
No.
Why you don't think so?
I don't believe that they have any guilt because they realize what they have done, if been a part of it. But I don't believe they really express any guilt.
And what have they done?
They haven't done anything to me.
I mean, when you say they realize what they have done, what have they done that they realize that they have done?
I don't know what you mean. What have they done?
Yeah, you said that they realize what they have done. What have they done?
Well, in terms of the...
I'll give you a minute to think about it. We're going to take a break, all right? We'll be back in a moment.
Bond, the brotherhood organization of a new destiny. Rebuilding the family by rebuilding the man. For more information, call us toll-free, 1-800-411-BOND. That's 1-800-411-BOND.
Okay, we are back. I want to rephrase something I said. Excuse me, y'all. That's black, huh? Excuse me, y'all. But when I say black people are not smart, there are some smart black people. What I mean is that those black people who are following those people that I've named are crazy, because there's no way that I would continue to follow those people because they don't care about the black people. They only care about themselves, and they are being led astray. So that's what I mean by they are not smart. All right. I want to clear that, because there are some smart men in this audience today. And I don't want to imply that. What have white people done that they are not guilty of?
What have they done that they're not guilty of?
Yeah.
I really can't I mean, many things I assume that you can say that they're guilty of.
What? Give me one. Give me one off the bat.
The bondage, one. I mean, knowing that they have had us in bondage for a number
of
years.
Put the mic to your mouth.
That's just one issue.
Okay. So you think that this generation of white people had you in bondage?
Not this generation.
How about the generation after them or before them?
Possibly, yes.
That they had you in bondage?
Yes. Yes.
You couldn't vote?
Yeah. Well, we're in bondage. I mean, you can look into
what else can they do to make you happy? I mean, what else can they do to let you know that it's okay to be black and do your thing?
I'm not really looking at what they can do to make me happy. I'm looking at what and what we can do to make ourselves happy. We have to begin to pull ourselves up.
Who is ourselves?
Well, I mean, and if we're speaking of blacks, we have to begin to identify with ourselves. We have to begin to support each other. We have to begin to not degrade and quit knocking us down, but begin to lift us up and let them know that they are somebody. All so long it's just been the conversation, and that, you know, that blacks are nothing, are nobody. I mean, you know, dope addicts, drug dealers, this, that, and the other. We are somebody, period. And we have to begin to to uplift that, to make that point clear that they are.
You know, the best way for blacks to discover that they are somebody is to set them free. Let them go out into the world and begin to live for themselves.
I don't know how much freer they can be than they are now.
They are not free. They are under the heading of other people.
They're not free only in their minds. They're not
right.
Free.
That's what we're trying to do today, is to set them free. They're under the heading of the church, of the politician, of their mamas, of the welfare, of affirmative action, and of the Democratic Party. Mm-hmm. They are not free men, and they are under the heading of black people. They need to pull away from that, and then they will become free.
Okay.
Nothing else is going to free them. Should white people feel guilty? Do you think all whites are racist?
No.
And so when whites are confronted with that, with blacks who think or accuse them of being racist, how should they deal with that?
Well, deal with it from an honest standpoint of view. I mean, just like you asked me the question, the question is responded back to them. You only can believe or disbelieve if one says, I'm not racist, I'm not racist. You have to take it upon yourself. If you say that he's racist, or he believes that he's racist, or whatever it is, then, you know, it just has to be a truth. There just has to be a truth there, and one that has to believe it on that basis.
Okay. Thank you. Right here. What's your name, sir?
Ozzie Johnson.
Ozzie, what kind of advice would you – are you liberal, conservative, nationalist, something else?
I'm for the human race.
Oh, my goodness. I knew we had a new one here, too. But that's nice.
I know.
What kind of advice would you give, and I need you to speak into the mic, it's kind of an old mic, to whites, conservative who are confronted with those issues from liberal blacks, that they are racist, that they are the problem, that they hate blacks. How should they deal with that?
Well, I think the issue should be not so much about the racism and all that. I think they should bridge the gap. What happened in the past was the past. What's now is now. I think we should work forward for betterment, you know, ourselves. First, you have to start with ourselves to help ourselves before we help anybody else.
So when a black accuses a white of being racist, he should just say, go to hell?
No, I don't think that. He has to learn the background, what we've been through slavery, to understand how we feel.
So are you saying that because of that background, he should take it, accept it, or just let it be, or what?
No, what I'm saying is he should do research on our culture, where we came from, where we're trying to go now.
Oh, yeah. Where did you come from?
Where I come from?
Yeah.
From Chicago. I didn't come from Africa.
And so they should find out that you're from Chicago. You call them racist and deal with it.
No, I'm not talking about that.
What are you saying?
We judge people by stigma, the past. I don't have anything against no white man or anything like that. They haven't done anything to me.
Yeah.
It's up to the individual.
Okay.
Like the gentleman here was talking about early. See, you brainwash into a system that
speaking
says
to the mic from time.
You brainwash into a system that's saying that you can't do no better.
This guy is?
This guy here.
Yeah. He's
so
young.
You're limiting yourself.
Yeah. One last question for you, and I want to go to this guy in the white shirt. Would you marry a white woman?
Well, you put me on the spot there.
You Who know, said no?
I said oh.
Oh.
I can't. Well, it's like this. I can't answer that question now. I'm not a racist or anything like that, but what I feel here. It's like I don't see color. Love, you don't see color.
So that means that, yes, you would marry a white woman if love came.
If I loved her, I would.
Oh, okay. Thanks. That's hard to say, huh? Yes, sir. And I want to take the guy in the white shirt. Yes, sir.
Okay. I think your question was, what advice could I give a white liberal in dealing with a black liberal?
No, a white conservative in dealing with black liberals.
Dealing with black liberals. Well, I think that the first thing that I would say to that person would be to maybe just to step back and watch the black man work and watch him rise. To not put his ideas on the black man and just to accept him where he is right now and to take him for what he can do. Now you say, okay, well, you know, that history and all that stuff, it means nothing. Well, but okay, but it's been discussed.
But it does mean something.
It does mean something.
We should not forget history, but we should not hate history.
That's right. We should not hate history, but we should not be living in a lie to think that our history and to where we are coming from and the building blocks where we're building from don't matter.
Let me ask you this because I'm tired. We got to move on. If Jesse Jackson is in a debate with a conservative white, and this white person is being straight up and honest, and Jesse calls him a racist, what should that person do in that situation?
Well, I think that that person should do what he would expect Jesse to do if the tables would turn, to turn the other cheek.
Oh, okay. Thanks, buddy. And the white shirt in the back. Liberal, conservative, nationalist, humanist.
Humanist.
Are you a humanist?
Yes.
We got two of them. All right. I bet you thought you was the only one. Where's your chapter located? No, I'm just joking.
In my heart.
All right. Yeah. What would you do? You think white people should still feel guilty, and do you think that whites are racist?
No, I don't think they should feel guilty.
Speaking to the mic for me.
No, I don't think whites should feel guilty, and I don't think all whites are racist.
Good.
Just like I don't think all blacks are pro-black.
And when a white is confronted with a black who accuses him or her of that, how should they deal with it?
With their true heart and true feelings. If I accuse a white of being a racist and he know within his heart that he's not a racist, then we should talk man to man and just debate it.
Should whites be afraid to speak the truth about blacks?
No, they shouldn't.
They should be able to say what they see, right?
Exactly.
Is that right? And not be worried about the name calling.
True.
True. Would you marry a white woman?
No.
Good for you, man.
No.
A brother in the audience. That's Martin. No, I'm joking. Yeah. Well, that's good. Anything else you want to add?
I just feel as far as the issue as far as conservative whites feeling guilty, they shouldn't feel guilty.
Yeah.
Take every man regardless of color on a personal basis. And as far as, you know, I like to address the affirmative action situation as far as today's climate. I think it's just a ploy in the political climate because of the election year coming up. I mean, you've seen that every time an election comes up, there's some type of political ploy. And this is just one of them.
Yeah.
In the year 2000, you'll have another one. I think eventually if whites, if it's so to be said that conservative whites are getting rid of affirmative action just to hurt blacks, I think the way this, the world is coming now, whites will one day be a minority. And if they truly feel that affirmative action is assisting blacks only, then when they become the minority, maybe we have to put affirmative action back in place to help them out also.
Do you think we need affirmative action now? We should have it?
No, but yes.
Why?
No, but yes. I think why I, it's kind of I think you need it because the playing field is not level. But if I'm going to say this and I'm going to cut it short. I seen on the news where one black student said to on the news, he said, now I don't have to worry about whites looking at me and saying I'm here on this campus because of affirmative action. And I agree with him wholly. Now, if he's saying that when whites see him on campus, he's here because he's educated,
yeah,
or he's financially able to come here.
Absolutely.
I think that's how, regardless of your color, that's how you should be looked at.
We are out of time. I appreciate that, all right?
Thank you very much.
Thanks a lot. You made a lot of sense. Next week, next Monday night, the fireman is going to tell us once again how to put out a good fire. See you next Monday night.
Can find a way. I know we can find.